friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, Debbie and I are glad that you've tuned in. Debbie and I are glad that you have made a choice to join with us today. We pray that our time together, like old brother Will Wilcox used to say, used to listen to him on the TV on Sunday morning when I was just a young man, used to say that, well, that he wanted this program and all that people gave to be an investment in a timeless eternity. And how true that is. Hey, listen, sir, ma'am, if you're saved, we're investing in eternity when we do the things of God, when we worship Him, when we hear the Word of God or proclaim it or live it or share it, whatever the case may be. And if you, sinner friend, are listening in, oh, I'll tell you what, you're not prepared for eternity if you're lost. It's before you. You're going to experience it, but I'll tell you what, you need to be sure that you are prepared for it. I've opened my Bible to the book of 2 Peter, right after 1 Peter, right before the book of 1 John. And I'm going to be looking at verses 12 through 21. I'm not going to do a deep dive exposition on all of those verses. I don't have time. But I'm going to give you the heart of Peter, man. I'm going to talk to you about something that I believe in this day and this hour. And it's always been significant, always been important, always been needed to be preached and proclaimed and understood and accepted, embraced by God's people from the first generation of Christians that Peter preached to the last one that we're living in today. And in this day of apostasy, friend, listen, in this day of gross apostasy, great apostasy, this message is certainly needed today. So you pray for me, won't you, as we look together in the Word of God. Deb's got a song she's wanting to do right now for us. And, well, it's a great song. I really love it. And I think you'll love it. It was written. It was written out of a real experience that we had at the church we used to attend several years ago. And it comes from a testimony of a sweet old gentleman that knew the Lord. And when he testified, he'd often say, well, it's just around the bend. You enjoy the song. I'm sure that you will. And when Debbie's done, I'll be back with the message.
I've heard of a land that's waiting just beyond the river. I've heard of a land that one day I will see. And I know that soon, and very soon, I'll take my journey to spend eternity. Just around the bend, heaven is waiting. Just around the bend, there's a resting place where joy bells will ring in the good old gospel way, and where saints will welcome me home. I'll not have a care.
and I hope you do too. There's something waiting for us. Death is before us and eternity is beyond that. Make sure, friend, you have the right place reserved for you in eternity. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And friend, I get that because I believe the Word of Almighty God in the book of 2 Peter. I'm going to read many verses of Scripture out of this passage, but here's what I am going to read to you. Paul said this. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." But it goes on to say, in verse 19, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." I'm going to talk to you today for a little while about something better than experience. Something better than experience. Now look, I want to be as kind as I can be in this message, but I want to be as honest as I can be. I love experiences. I love to experience things. I love to have things happen. I love to be in places where God blesses, where people rejoice, where just things that you know, friend, are only coming from God. And I love that. I love to experience life. I love to experience, I'll even say, its highs and its lows. I just love to experience the grace of God as it's manifest in its multitude of different ways. And the Bible tells us we ought to be thankful in all things. As a matter of fact, not we ought to be. We are to be. We're commanded to give thanks in all things. And I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to learn to be just as honest and sincere and giving thanks to God when things are not good in my life as when they are good in my life. So this is what I'm going to say. An experience is a wonderful thing. I mean, it's a personal thing, and they're real. Look, when somebody tells me they, quote, had an experience, I don't doubt it. Have no doubt in my mind that they experienced something. Have no doubt in my mind that it's probably pleasurable or good. That's something that affected them, made them happy, that touched them and even etched them to such a degree that they'll never forget it. It was a powerful thing. But here is why the message, I'm sure, that the Lord has laid on my heart has come. Listen, we're living in a day and a time, friend, when people have lost their blooming mind. I mean, we're living in the last days, the days that the Word of God clearly speaks of a great apostasy, a great falling away that would come and has come. It is the one unlike any other that will precede the second coming of Christ. It is spoken of in the book of 2 Thessalonica chapter 2 verses 3, I believe it is, where it talks about there will come a great falling away first. And apostasia is the Greek word. And it's going to be none like it. And that's what we're seeing in our church world today. And part of this apostasia, part of this is what's going on. It's an abandonment of the Word of God. Paul tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, that in the last days people shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Actually, that's 1 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, where I was going, what I was trying to go to, and I'm turning to it even as I speak, so they can read. Paul said in the last times, the times will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, turn their ears, friend, but listen, let me get it right. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." And look now, that's what Paul is dealing with here, or Peter is dealing with here in this second letter that he wrote. His swan song is end song. He knew he was ready to die. He knew that the days of his earthly sojourn were over. He knew that the apostleship that Christ had called him to, chosen him to, commissioned him in, was coming to its end. And he said, "Now look, in light of the fact that I'm ready to die, that I'm ready to leave." Listen to what he said Listen to what he said in verse 15. He said, moreover, I will endeavor, or I will determine. He said, look, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give it all that I've got. I'm going to hold back nothing. He said, I'm going to give it my best shot that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always. And remember, Peter knew that he was going to die. He knew that his decease was just ahead, his departure. He was leaving planet Earth. He was going to the place that Jesus said that he had prepared for those that love him and look for him and long for his determined and long for his return. So with a great determination, Peter said, look, the Holy Spirit of God has allowed me to address this, to visit this. He's inspired me to write about this. Look, he's inspired me to write about something that's better than an experience. And Peter, listen. He's going to share one of the greatest experiences that man could have ever had. He's going to tell us his personal testimony, friend, of what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as great as that was, as full of majesty as it was, as full of blessings it was, Peter said, wait just a minute, fellas, I've got something better than my experience. I've got the Word of God that I want you to be founded on. I want you to trust in. I want you to stand on it. I want you, friend, to give it up for nothing else. Now look, we're living in a day. Again, I'll tell you when evil spirits and seduce when well, let me turn over there and read it. My Lord, I just quoted it. So many things going through my mind and my heart. First Timothy chapter 4, but the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Friend, we're living in that day. We're living in that age when that has happened. Now look, it's nothing new. I mean, there's always been a battle for God's people, because Paul told us in the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, he said, beware. Beware. He said, pay attention, be alert, be vigilant, be aware. He said, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the ruins of the world, and not after Christ. Even John in his first letter wrote this. He said in 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Even Peter himself in this same letter that I'm trying to preach to you from today, he goes on in chapter 2 and talks about false prophets that would come, false teachers that are among even Peter and his generation, let alone in our generation. And he said, listen, there'll be many people that will follow the false prophet, the false preacher's pernicious ways or plastic ways. Can you see that that fits? They're feigned words or plastic words. It says that through feigned words they shall make merchandise of people. Listen, friend, I'll tell you what. They're making millions off of Christians that are foolish and ignorant because they choose to be. Because, listen now, all, please listen. Hear the Word of God. Hear the Spirit of God in this. They're foolish and ignorant because they want to take something called experience and put it above the Word of God. Can I tell you what, sir, ma'am? If you try to live unexperienced, listen, you'll need a new one tomorrow. If you've had one today, you'll need a bigger one. You'll need a better one. You'll need one that stirs you more, that moves you more, that's greater to brag on than you was yesterday. Hey, can I tell you, friend, we're living in a day when people are trying the Word of God by their experience instead of trying their experience by the Word of God. I'm here to tell you that's all wrong. That's backwards. Hey, look, I told you at the beginning, I like experience. I like to have it. But can I tell you what? I want biblical experience. Bless God, if I'm going to brag on it, if I'm going to boast in it, if I'm going to claim it's from the Lord, I want it to go along with the Word of God. I want it to match up with the Word of God. I want to make sure it comes from the Spirit of God. I want to make sure it's for the glory of God. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, we run into people on occasion, and there's a multitude out there. It's just that I don't cross paths with them as much as they used to when I was in the workforce in the world, but on occasion I still cross paths with people that are just like this when I was working in the world. Hey, you know what? They begin to tell me about something, and they begin to, you know, get all emotional and just brag on it and say, oh, how great it is. But I'll tell you, listen, the whole tenor of the conversation would change when I'd say, well, can I ask you something? Where do you find out in the Word of God? Where can you back that up in the Scriptures? And they'll say, oh, preacher, listen, I know what I felt. I know what I experienced. That's why I don't doubt that. Don't doubt that a bit. But there's a lot of deception in the world. There's a lot of things that the devil are lying to people with and trying to get them off center. Where does that match up with the Word of God? How does that line up the book? And I'll say, look, let me show you a verse of Scripture. Let me show you something maybe that it'd be wise for you to consider. And you know what they'll do? They'll read that verse. They'll look at that passage. They'll look back at me in the eye and they'll say, well, preacher, I know that's true. I know that's the Word of God. But can you guess what word they use next? They'll say, but. They'll say, but. I know what I experienced. Hey, listen, friend. When we get to the place that we put our experience above the Word of God, listen, friend, we're on dangerous ground. Look, good people do that. Saved people. Well-intended people. My brothers and sisters in Christ. But oh, friend, listen, the devil laughs. I'm telling you, he gets excited when somebody decides, I'll put an experience I have above the Word of God. And we've got to be careful about that. Peter goes on to tell us, he said, now look, let me make a declaration to you. Here in verses 16, 17, and 18. He said, let me tell you, and I'm not going to read it. He said, let me tell you, I saw the power of God. I saw it one day when me and Peter, or when me and James and John were eyewitnesses of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. He said, now look, this came from God. We beheld His glory. We heard a voice from heaven that was from the excellent glory. It even said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he said, look, Peter said, we heard this. He said, when we were with Him in that holy mount, in that mount that was set apart by the divine counsel of God, by the divine wisdom of God, to let us experience the transfiguration of Jesus, to let us be the eyewitnesses of this. You see, Peter had an experience. He was boasting in it. Yes, he was. He was thankful for it. Yes, he was. But you know what he said? He said, now wait just a minute. I know the frailty of man. I know the weakness of man. I know the forgetfulness of man. I know that how man means well, but he'll add to or take away. And that's why he said, listen, I've not only got a determination, but I've got a desire before I die. That's what he said in verses 12 and 13. I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things that you know so that you can be established in this present truth. And he said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this world, as long as I'm in this body, as long as I'm walking planet Earth, and he said, I want to stir you up. I want to stir up your pure minds. How about a way of remembrance? And he said, now listen, here's how I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do it with an experience I had. Oh, I had an experience. It was a great experience. It was the experience that only three of us had. I mean, it was wonderful. It was out of this world. We saw, listen, men that had been dead for thousands and hundreds of years. We heard the voice of God. We saw Jesus in His glory. Oh, it was wonderful. But wait just a minute. I'm not going to boast in that. I'm not going to tell you that you ought to live on experience. But here's what I am going to do. Listen to what Peter said. Listen to what he decreed. Listen to what he set out. Listen, friend, to what his determination was. As great as that was, what a contrast this is. Peter said, I had an experience. It was amazing. It was phenomenal. How in the world can I explain it? But he said, look at what he said in verse 19. He said, but I want to tell you something. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed. adds unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn of the day star arise in your heart. Peter said, let me tell you something. What we saw on the Mount of Transfiguration was real. But I want you to know I've got something that's more real. I've got something that's sure. I've got something that's eternal. I've got something that never changes. I've got something that has been established since eternity past. I've got something, listen, that won't diminish with time, nor will it diminish with my memory. It won't change as I change. If the story remains the same, it's sure, it's steadfast, it's certain, it's powerful, it's clean, it's inspired, it's the Word of God. Oh, friend, listen, you know why we're in a mess that we're in spiritually, doctrinally, ecclesiastically in this age that we live in? It's because people have abandoned the Word of God. It's because people said, listen, I'll take tradition. I know what I experienced. I know what I felt. I know what I heard. I know what I saw. Hey, friend, listen, all of those things could be real. All of them could be true. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, and this is going to blow some of you away. It's going to hurt you. It's going to cause you to say immediately, that's not true, preacher. But if you think it out, if you study it out, if you check it out, according to the Word of God, you'll find that I might be right. Listen, not every experience we have is from the Lord. Can I tell you that even Satan has his ministers that appear as ministers of light. Do you know that? It's not every man that puts a Bible under his arm and stands before a congregation, begins to proclaim things or promise miracles or promise prosperity or tell you that God wants you to be always healthy, wealthy, and whole. Hey, listen, that may not be. In fact, it's not of God when that happens all the time. Listen, bless God, I'll tell you, we're living in strange times. We're living in times, friend, when the Word of God is minimized. And if it ever, if there ever was a time, and look, don't take this phrase that I'm going to speak to you in just a minute. There's always been a need of this. There's never been a time when it should be minimized. There's never been a time which it should be anything but first place. But if there's ever been a time when the Word of God needs to be, listen, proclaimed, I believe, rightly divided, studied, shared, and lived on, it's the day and the hour that we live in. We're to try everything, friend, by the Word of God. Every experience we have, every message that we hear, every lesson that is taught, everything that somebody tells us, we're to be like the Bereans. We're to get the Word out. We're to search it and see what it says. If it agrees with Scripture, we ought to embrace it. If it agrees with thus saith the Lord, we ought to stand on it. We ought to share it ourselves. We ought to live in it. We ought to live on it. Oh, we ought to be thankful for it. But we ought to try the Spirit, just like John said. We ought to make sure, friend, listen, that a lot of these plastic people that are speaking to us, that are more about making merchandise of God's people, getting their money, telling them what they want to hear, so they'll get from God's people what they want to get. Oh, friend, we need to be wise in these last days of deception, these last days of apostasy, these last days of departing from the Word. Can I ask you something? What kind of an emphasis do you put upon the Word of God? Where is it in your life? Where is it in your heart? Where is it in your mind? Where is it in your hand? Listen, do you study it? Do you read it? Do you embrace it? Do you pray God to ask Him to order your steps in the world, in the Word? Do you pray and ask Him to open your eyes that you may behold wondrous things out of the law or out of His Word? Do you want to know it? Do you want to make it prominent and preeminent in your life? Will you tell God, have you told Him that when you find it, when you see it, when He shows it to you, you'll live it, bless God, you'll love it, you'll learn it, and then you'll do your best to leave it to the next generation coming behind us? Hey, friend, hey, Peter said, I want to tell you something about something better. It's not my experience. It's not what you can get on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. But it's what you can get out of the Word of God, out of the lens of that book, from Genesis up to the Revelation. Every word, every line, every precept, every principle. Here a little, there a little. Build on it. Bless God, stand on it. Hey, listen. And one day, friend, you'll be able to die on it. Hey, listen, Peter said, I want to tell you about something better than experience. I want to tell you about the unadulterated, eternal, pure, powerful Word of God that never changes. He says, remember it. Above all other things,
settle
the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TomAndDeebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.